dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name.
Amen. Wonderful. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Sam Burton, will you lead us, please, as we pray?
Lord, Father, we do want to say, wonderful grace of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your wonderful grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then, Lord, you say that my grace is sufficient for you. And, Lord, we want to grow in grace.
Amen. 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 Thank you. And you may be seated. And let me say, it's good to see all of you. Isn't it good to have Buddy back up here again? Huh? Did you like that? I'll tell you. And, of course, Alice is here, too. Don't want to overlook her. Yeah. We appreciate that. Yes. All right. Good to see you. It's a beautiful day outside, beautiful day inside. The Lord is with us. We're going to sing praises to His name and glorify Him in everything that's said and done. So, Brother Buddy, come lead us in another good song.
Oh, this is a good Easter song. Christ Arose, 356. Oh, 256 was Christ Arose. Let's go to 356. I was like, I like Easter songs. You know, that's what it's all about, right? Jesus dying and raising again from the dead so that we can have eternity with Him in heaven. 356. I'm like, wow. I was wondering what the preacher was preaching on, and he is preaching about life and death, so you never know. All right, 356.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full relief, near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Oh, us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
All right, let's all stand and turn to 6:30. I guess I came over here from Arizona and Brother David made his way over there to Arizona. And he's visiting his grandchildren now, right? Don't they have a new little baby now? Wow, that's awesome. All right, 6:30. The ushers come forward on the last verse.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, praise God, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, when at the cross the Savior made me whole. Made me whole. My sins were washed away, praise God, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal, from his precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole. My sins are washed away, praise God. And
as we bow in prayer, Brother Roger, will you lead us, please, in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we give thank you so much for the many blessings you give us, even though we do not write them. We just thank you for your love and your watch care. And we thank you again for this church that preaches and teaches your word without compromise. We thank you that you are passing my dream of Holy Spirit into his heart, that our minds will be open and tuned to your word. Again, we pray that you ask us, take this offering, Lord, not only but multiply it here, but multiply it throughout the world for the missionaries that we support.
Amen.
Thank you so loving us so much and dying for us on the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I didn't get a chance to write thank you cards for all the gifts that was given my last day here. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank you guys for your love offering and your cards. And we ask for your prayers still. Alice and I, we visited a church down there, but they were just a little too contemporary. It's hard to find a good Bible singing and praising church like this one. You guys are very fortunate to have a pastor who preaches from the Word of God and who and still sing from the hymnals and sing with your heart. And that's my my comment to one of the members. They told me, oh, we like to mix our services contemporary and traditional. And I told him, well, Jesus in the Bible said that lukewarm he will have no part of, and he will spew you out. And they didn't like me very much. So anyway, we're looking for you mix it. And it didn't do my spirit any good, put it that way. Amen. Anyway, this song I'm going to, no way, you know. And, you know, when you look up there and everyone's watching the drummer who isn't even smart enough to put on a pair of pants, you know, they're wearing shorts up there and they're performing and, you know, and you know, they don't have any, I don't think, you know, what's Sunday about? We're supposed to be devotional to God every day. Amen. We can do that in our underwear if we want, at home. But dress up when you come to church. You know, be presentable. Anyway, this song has been my favorite as a child growing up. I've sang it around the world. Sang it out on the forecastle of a ship in the middle of the Persian Gulf. I've sang it up on top of Iron Mountain and Poway, and it's how great thou art. So you guys can help me on the chorus when I get to then sings my soul. So let's get our hearts right for the message today and listen to these words.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder considered all the worlds thy hands have made, I see see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe display.
Everybody.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And then when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Everybody.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
Everybody, with your heart.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great.
Then the people said,
thank you, Brother Buddy. I think at this time, Brother Johnny's got a song for us. Appreciate that, Buddy. It'll be a wonderful song, and you did a wonderful job on the chorus, congregation.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You know, a lot of us have trials and tribulations and problems, and some things come upon us that we don't expect. And you wonder, oh, no one knows about me, no one cares about me. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, my friend. There's someone that cares. Not only our Lord Jesus Christ, but there is someone that cares that you know you don't know anything about. So I just want you to understand this morning that someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for you. When you seem you're all alone and your heart will break in two, remember someone is praying for you. Have the clouds around you gathered in the midst of your storm? Is your ship tossed and battered? Are you weary and worn? Don't lose hope, someone's praying for you this very day, and peace be still, is already on the way. For someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for you. So when you seem you're all alone and your heart will break in two, remember someone is praying for you. When it seems that you pray till your strength is all gone and your tears fall like raindrops all the day long, oh, he cares and he knows just how much you can bear, and he'll speak your name to someone in prayer. Someone is praying for you. Yes, someone is praying for you. So when you seem you're all alone and your heart will break in two, remember someone is praying for you. So when you seem that you're all alone, oh, and your heart will break in two, remember someone always praying for you. Rejoice, dear saint, and hold on to the blessing. Praise God.
Open your Bibles with me this morning, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. To everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. I want to speak this morning on the subject of life and death. Two tremendous realities. Think with me. When God made the first man, Adam, in the Garden of Eden, he formed his physical body with his own hands, using the dust of the earth as the substance for that body. The Bible says the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground Now, just prior to this, God had made all the animals, all the mammals, the fowls of the air, the fishes of the sea, the cattle, the creeping things, all living creatures. And he had made these just by speaking them into existence. When he wanted an elephant, he said, "Let there be an elephant," and there was an elephant. He spoke them into existence. God said it, and it came to pass. But not so with man. Man was a hands-on thing. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. He made him out of the dust to the ground. So here is Adam standing there, just a pile of dirt. He's like you would see one of these characters out here at Imperial Beach when they have the, what is it they have down there? Sandcastle Day. That's what he was. Just a sand sculpture. He was as dead as a stick. Just mud stuck to itself. No life. And then the Bible says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Adam, that pile of dirt, came alive. He became a living soul. Now this miracle was repeated and enlarged over in Ezekiel chapter 37. Very interesting chapter. Read it when you get home. There was this valley, a great valley, that was full of dry bones all over the face of the ground. Probably a great battle had been fought there between two armies, resulting in many casualties. And the unburied corpses of these fallen soldiers covered the whole face of the ground, the floor of that valley. Now, bones are the skeletal remains of a human body after the flesh is removed. I remember one time I was a clerk in the court in San Diego. It was summertime. I was getting ready to take a vacation. And at that particular time, we had a personal injury case going with a lot of doctors testifying. And in that, they had brought a skeletal body in there, made out of plastic. It wasn't real. But it had all of the bones of the human body in it. And the doctors would use that in their testimony. Well, at day's end, I was getting ready to go to Texas for a couple of weeks. And as I'm leaving the courtroom, everybody else was gone. I was the only one there. So I thought I would do something smart. I took that skeleton and I put it in my chair in front of my desk. And it sat there just perfect, you know. So I got a minute book like a clerk uses and opened it up right in front of him and took his bony arms and put it over there and put a pencil in his hand. And the other hand was up here. And there he sat, that skeleton, in my chair. I never knew what happened, but I have an idea that when the janitor came in that evening to clean the place up, he might have left in a hurry, I don't know. But anyway, that's what these bones look like in that valley. So God asked the prophet Ezekiel, as he gazed out across that valley, he said, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel tells us that God laid sinews upon those bones. He brought flesh upon them and covered them with skin. But they were still only dead bodies, a valley full of dead bodies. They had no life in them. They were like Adam's body was before God breathed on him. They were dead. Then God said, "Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they might live." In response to God's command, the winds began to blow, and the breath of life came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Do you like to read the white spaces in your Bible between the verses? You can learn an awful lot from those white spaces in your Bible between the verses. In the white spaces between the verses here in Ezekiel 37, we've got a whole massive army of men who go home to their wives and to their children. Let your imagination take over from there. Yes, I can imagine what it must have been like. Adam was made first. For a little while, he was the only human being on the face of the earth. And then God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. So he put Adam to sleep. Took one of his ribs out and closed up the wound and made a grown, mature woman out of that rib that he had taken from Adam's side and gave her to Adam to be his wife. That's the way it started out. Now, when God made the human bodies of Adam and Eve, he gave them the ability to reproduce, to multiply, so that when a male sperm fertilizes a female egg, a miracle takes place. New life is formed in the womb, and 9 months later, a baby, a human being, is born. Now, there's a battle raging today in the medical profession among doctors and other experts and scientists and even preachers. Theologians are getting into it about when a baby becomes a living soul, a human being. Is it at conception or is it at birth? It's pretty ridiculous. In Luke chapter 1, when that 6-month-old fetus in Elizabeth's womb heard that Jesus, the Son of God, had been miraculously conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the Bible says that John the Baptist leaped in her womb for joy. 3 months before he was born. A baby is not born until he or she is 9 months old. He can't go to school till he's five or so, and he can't drive a car until he's 16, and he can't vote until he's 18, and he can't drink whiskey and isn't considered an adult until he's 21. And he can't collect Social Security till he's 65 or so. Now, follow me. When you were born, you had no choice. You had no say-so as to when you would be born. You couldn't pick your birthday. You couldn't pick and choose who your parents would be. You had no say-so about it. You couldn't choose whether your parents, your family would be rich or whether they would be poor. You didn't have any choice as to what country you would be born in, or what language you would speak, or what nationality you would be, or what color your skin would be. God didn't ask you these questions. He didn't give you a choice. You did not pick your gender, whether you wanted to be a male or female, whether you wanted to be short or tall, fat or skinny, or whatever. Because before you were born, God did not give you a checklist for you to go down and pick and choose. What you are is what you got, whether you like it or not. God made you exactly like He wanted you to be, and you're stuck with it. So don't complain. Won't do a bit of good. I guess you could just thank God that you weren't born in Iran and raised a Muslim worshiping Allah and living under Sharia law. Something to be thankful for, isn't it? All right, that's when you're born. You have no choice. When you die, and death can come to any person at any time. When you die, it's only the physical body that dies. As we define death. Now that body will be buried or cremated or disposed of some way, but it returns to the dust from whence it came. And when the spirit of life leaves this physical body, the body is presumed to be dead. God's breath of life that He breathed into it is taken away, and the body dies. Now the soul of man, that's who that person is. That's who we are. That is that part of me which is immortal, eternal, everlasting. It continues to live on and it never dies. These bodies will die. Our souls will never die. They are eternal. The body is in the grave. The spirit of life that motivated and kept this body going has already departed from it and gone back to God. And the soul of man is either in heaven or in hell, depending upon its relationship with Jesus Christ. That simple. Now that's where the new birth comes in. Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to him, he said, "You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Now it's obvious that he cannot enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born, as Nicodemus stated. So how can these things be? Let's back up a little. When a child is born, and we've got that sweet little boy over there, he was 2 months old yesterday. Precious. But when a child is born, that child inherits from its forefathers, and that's going all the way back to Adam, what we call a sinful nature. We're not sinners because of what we do. We sin because of what we are. And sin has to be dealt with. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth righteousness. No, not one. Everybody starts out the same. Everybody starts out that way. Now Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, came into this world to redeem us from sin. He died on the cross. He was crucified. He shed his life's blood to pay the penalty for our sins. Then he rose from the dead the third day. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs for 40 days. And then he ascended back to the right hand of the Father in heaven, where he ever lives to make intercession for us as our great high priest. I'm telling you the truth. Now, when we accept him as our substitute offering for sin, when we confess him as our personal Savior, when we call upon him, we are said to be saved. We are born again. We become a new creature in Christ Jesus. That means that all of our sins have been pardoned and forgiven. We are cleansed from our sins. By faith, we have become children of God. We are members of his family. We are citizens of his heavenly kingdom. And we receive eternal, everlasting life as a free gift of God's grace. Worst case scenario. You're driving on your way home from church this morning, and you're thinking about the sermon you've heard, praising the Lord, thanking God for a beautiful day. And you come to an intersection and there's a stop sign. And you stop and then you proceed through that stop sign. But here comes a young man drunk on alcohol, high on drugs, driving a stolen car 100 miles an hour and doesn't stop at that intersection, and he broadsides you and kills you immediately. And you're broken shattered, dead body is hauled off to the morgue in an ambulance, and you're not in it anymore. The spirit of your life has gone back to God who gave it. What happens to your soul? You didn't even feel the impact. It came so suddenly. It was just out of the blue, and you had no time to react. You didn't even feel. You experienced no pain. You experienced no hurt because your soul left that mangled body, and you suddenly find yourself surrounded by angels and your loved ones in an idyllic atmosphere of joy and reunion where there's music and singing and happiness all over the place. You have no regrets at having left this earth or your family or any unfinished business that you may have. You are in the presence of God. You are in heaven. But suppose that person who's killed in that accident was not a Christian. He'd never been born again. He died unsaved, an unbeliever. According to the Word of God, his soul would go immediately to hell, to that place of torment in fiery flames. It's a place of outer darkness, filled with sorrow and pain and suffering. It's not a place of fun and games. Not a place where you meet with all your old beer drinking buddies and shoot pool and sit around playing cards and shooting dice and things like that all day. I can't make it any more real. But when you were born into your family, you will always be a member of your family. My dad and mother's already died, going to heaven. My daddy went there in 1979, my mother 1994. They're gone. But I am still my mother and daddy's son. And nothing could change it. Nothing could change it. Now, you may have a disagreement with your parents, and you may leave home and never see them again. Or your parents, on the other hand, may die and leave you an orphan, but you're still their child. You can't be unborn. There are no reverse gears in life. You can't go back and change what's already happened. They'll always be your natural parents. I said that to make a point. When you are born into the family of God, you become a child of God, and you will always be a child of God. I don't care. You can change your appearance. You can move to another country, learn another language. You're still going to be a child of God. You may be stubborn and rebellious. You may resist the will of God in your life and live under his chastisement. Or you may love the Lord, and you may be obedient and submissive to him and live in the sunshine of his divine favor. You may be blessed, or you may be chastened. That's up to you. Make the best of it. You're still his child. The bottom line is this: God has made you who you are and what you are. He's placed you on this earth at this particular time, not 100 years before or 100 years later. You are here now. You're different from anybody and everybody else in the whole world. There's not another you anywhere. You're unique. Now the God that made you and gave you life put you here for a purpose. You're not here just to fill up space. You've got a work to do that no one else can do. No one else can do what God put you here to do for Him. So find out what it is and do it. Find your place. Find out. It may be something big, or it may be something insignificant. But whatever it is, it fits perfectly into God's divine scheme and plan and purpose. Let me take just a minute to give you an illustration of this from the book of Genesis. Love to read book of Genesis. You get over there and sometimes you get acquainted with a person, tells you a certain person was born and died, and you never hear anything else all the way through Revelation about them. Back yonder, this is just an illustration. Back yonder, 3,650 years before Jesus was born. That's 5,663 years ago by our calendar. It was even 1,331 years before the flood came in Noah's day. A little baby boy was born. His father, Enos, named him Canaan. Now Canaan grew up. When he was 70 years old, he had a son. He named him Mahalalel. Canaan lived for 840 more years. He fathered more children. He died in 2740 BC at the age of 910. That's all the Bible says about him. He was not a prophet. He was not a priest. He was not a king. He was not a great preacher. He didn't write any of the books of the Bible. In 3353, when he was about 135 years old, he became Enoch's grandpa. And Enoch was the guy that went to heaven without dying, if you remember, because he walked with God. Canaan was 500 years old at the time Enoch was translated. He lived 410 more years. That's the part that he played in God's divine plan. God has a plan for each individual here today. We're not here just taking up space, really. He has a plan and a purpose for our lives. Do you know what yours is? Are you interested in finding out? Don't come to me and ask me. I don't know. I have enough problems with my own. God's the only one that knows. But let me urge you today to find out what it is and do it. And one day in heaven, we'll see how all these things work together for good. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace toward us. We look to you today as our Creator. You made us. You made us what we are. And Lord, we pray that you will take each individual here today that has heard this message and help us before this day is out to seek your face and find out your plan, your purpose for our lives. And help us, Father, to be obedient and submissive to your will and let you do with us what you would have us to do. If there's one here in this congregation today that is unsaved and does not know the Lord Jesus Christ yet as their personal Savior, would you today, Lord, please convict them of their sin, show them Jesus, their Savior, and give them the grace to believe in Him. And when they believe in Him, give them eternal life and forgive their sins. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
471.
Number 471, as we sing an invitation this morning, there's someone here maybe that needs to come. Will you come today? I must tell Jesus. Will you come? On the course, will you come? Thank you for the kind attention you gave this morning to the preaching of the Word of God. Appreciate you being here. Hope you have a nice afternoon. Come back again tonight at 6 o'clock, and we'll be having another message from the Word of God. And remember our Wednesday night, a Bible study, prayer meeting, and come and be with us and share the blessings of the Lord. I don't think that was ever turned on. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Roger, will you lead us in a benediction, please?
Father, again, we're ever so grateful for the things we've heard and sung today. We'd ask that you would open our hearts and help us to just think upon these words, applying it in our lives. Father, just continue to protect this corner, building, property, and finances. And Father, bring safety and safe travels to all that are here today. Bring a safety to each given place and a safe return back. For you ask in Christ's name.